Chapter 37. It was the phone. It sounded far, far away. And when it stopped ringing, he wasn't sure he hadn't dreamed it. Its ring, real or imagined, roused him just enough to make him aware of the pounding in his head and the intense nausea welling up in him. He thought about trying to get up to get water, to swallow some aspirin, or to just throw up. But he couldn't move, pinned to the sofa like a bug catcher's specimen waiting for the jar, or to be framed for a spot on the wall next to Ozzy. Ozzy had been his only company last night as he slowly drank himself into the state he found himself in now. He forced his eyes open. That hurt almost as much as the pounding in his head. But he had to look at the poster. Jesse liked the sight of the soft-handed acrobatic shortstop suspended in midair. Like to imagine how he might have handled the same play. He was a different kind of shortstop than the Wizard of Oz. Jesse's hands weren't as soft. Nobody's were. He hadn't been nearly as acrobatic, and though his range was above average, it couldn't touch Ozzy's. But as all the scouts had said of him, Jesse had the most powerful infield arm they had ever seen, better even than Sean Dunstan's. That meant Jesse could position himself more deeply in the hole and had more time to make the hard plays than other shortstops. He remembered thinking he couldn't get more deeply in the hole than he already was when he slipped back into unconsciousness. This time it wasn't the phone that roused him, but someone shaking him. Tamara? No, it had been just Ozzy and him last night. Had he misremembered? He went into fight-or-flight mode. For Jesse, it wasn't ever much of a choice. It was always fight. He jumped off the sofa, swinging his left arm in front of him to sweep away the immediate threat and to create space between himself and his attacker. Only the actions that seemed to him to be lightning fast were, in fact, laughably slow and disjointed. His left arm missed his perceived attacker by a mile, and his leap off the couch was more of a stumble and fall over the coffee table. And when he hit the floor, the pain in his head nearly split him in two. "Jesse! Jesse! Get up! Get up!" He heard a woman's voice call to him from the top of the well into which he'd fallen. "Jesse! Jesse!" Another woman was at the top of the well, calling to him. Then he blacked out. When the cold water hit him, he startled. He reflexively shook his head, but the pain of it nearly drove him back into his stupor, cold water or not. The water stopped. "Jesse, for Christ's sakes, come on, get up!" When he didn't open his eyes, the water came back on and stayed on until Jesse opened his eyes, and they stayed open. All right, shut it off," he said, holding his right hand up in front of his face. "Shut it off!" The water stopped. "You among the living now?" Molly asked, kneeling down beside the tub in Jesse's downstairs bathroom. He didn't answer, his eyelids flickering, shutting. When they shut, the water came on again, and Molly let it run until Jesse had lifted himself up onto his knees. And when he got on his knees, that sensation he hated hit him. It hit him hard, the bathroom spinning off into space. He climbed out of the tub, crawled over to the toilet, and heaved up the contents of his stomach. "You can wait for me in the living room," Molly said to someone standing beyond the bathroom door. Now Jesse lay on the cold tiles, grabbing his head. But at least the spins had stopped. Molly picked up Jesse's head and cradled it in her lap. She opened his mouth and slowly poured a bottle of water into him. He coughed some up, but he got most of it down. When that one was finished, she poured another one into him. "Aspirin," he said, pointing to the medicine cabinet. "Aspirin. Here, take these. The ME said they'll do you more good than aspirin or any of that other stuff." Jesse swallowed them with more water, but they still went down hard. He sat up gingerly, leaning his back against the tub. "Who else is here?"
"Alicia."
"You shouldn't have brought her."
"And you shouldn't need me to wake you up out of a drunken stupor to save your job. It's not like I had a big choice about who to bring."
"Wait a second," he said, rapidly blinking his eyes as if to shake the cobwebs out. "The ME gave you those pills. When did you see..." He didn't finish the question.
That's right, Jesse. We've got another body. This one's in the nature preserve along Sawtooth Creek.
Another body? Who?
Gunshot. One to the head, one to the heart. Small caliber. No exit wounds. Male, white in his 50s. Looks like it's one of the suspects.
Which one?
Kernut.
King?
I think so. Can't check the body for ID until the ME's done with him. Jesse asked,
how long ago?
Doc says it looks like he's been there for 24 hours plus.
No, Molly, how long since somebody called it in?
About an hour. I've been calling you on both phones since. After the way you looked at the press conference today, and when you didn't pick up, I figured you must have tied one on. When the ME showed up at the scene, I told her what I was thinking about you, and she gave me those pills.
Alert the Stadies and then get back there. I'll be there as soon as I can manage.
I'm leaving Alicia here to drive you. Don't even argue with me, Jesse. You're in no shape to get behind the wheel of a vehicle, and you won't be for a while.
He didn't argue.
Molly stood, asked, should I call the mayor's office?
You leave the mayor to me. I don't want you to have to lie to cover for me.
Since when did that bother you?
What's that supposed to mean?
You know what it means, Jesse.
She didn't bother explaining. Instead, she gritted her teeth and left.